folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner with Strong Tower Radio Today, and this is the program Good Growing with the Garden Gal.
Hi, I'm Teresa Williams.
All right. And we just had our first section. We were talking about spring frost. And so now we're moving on to the pros and cons of tillage. So, Teresa, in case there's people that don't know, what is tillage?
Well, tillage is when you turn the soil over, and it can be done with a plow, it can be done with a rototiller. It's that mechanical turning over of the soil.
So, rototilling is usually for gardens. I mean, that's being married to the farmer, I mean, yes, we have all kinds. You got the plow, you got the disc.
Uh-huh. All of those things are tillage tools.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to do that to the ground?
A lot of people do it for to destroy the weeds, to give their, take away that competition from their crops. Another reason is to prepare a fine seed bed that you think your seeds will have success germinating in it. If you are applying nitrogen, we can lose nitrogen to the atmosphere pretty easily. So if you till in, say, fresh manure, that will help the nitrogen from manure to stay in the soil where you want it, as opposed to going up into the atmosphere. And if you have crop residues from the previous year, corn stalks or something like that, if you till them in, they will decompose more quickly, and that might be a goal that you have.
So it'd be good to, that would help speed up the decomposition,
yes, yeah.
That word.
Breaking down the organic matter into small particles.
Right. Okay, now you're saying that it kills weeds. Now, someone has said, though, sometimes when you do that, though, you help the seeds so that you get weeds.
You bring
weeds.
Up a new crop of weed
yes.
seeds every time you till. Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
That's a double-edged sword, kind
it
of.
Is. It is. So I would like to ask your listeners to consider other options besides tillage and to take a look, good hard look at, is tillage really the best thing at this point in time for your growing? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But we've gotten into a mindset where every spring you must till, but you don't. And so if I could talk a bit about what your other options are and why those might be a good option.
So, well, okay, that's true. But why does everybody think it's just like when you see farmers, and the ground, they go and they make it just nice and smooth and, and then the wind comes and blows off. I mean, why do people want to do that, though, to till the ground?
I think it's because it's what we're used to.
Okay.
And when you first are bringing land into production, tillage can be very helpful at taking that land and making it suitable for agriculture. And it's a long tradition. And I kind of tease my husband about sometimes he's out there on the tractor and I call it recreational tillage. The ground doesn't really need it. It's more what he likes to do.
Yes, that's that saying about men and boys, the difference in size of their toys. Yes. What's the disadvantages of tillage?
Thanks for asking that question, because if you know some of the things that tillage does that aren't beneficial, that might help you in your decision making to know what to do when. Especially rototillers are particularly harsh on the soil. You run a rototiller through the soil, and any worms in your top few inches of soil you've just killed.
Mm.
The only thing that you've done is there's beneficial fungi in the soil, and these fungi create broad and long and large networks. And in these networks, what they can do is they can take up the nutrients in the soil and transfer them directly to the plant roots. And plants can have this whole beneficial systematic response to the fungi networks being active, being alive and working in their soil. And if you put tillage through that, you wipe out, you destroy those fungal networks, and the fungi have to start all over again. Another thing is, in a healthy soil, if you pick up a handful of it, you're going to see little bits of soil sticking together. It's not just single grains of soil. It's little clumps of soil. Mm-hmm. And we call that aggregation. And that aggregation actually helps with things like drainage, and also can help with nutrient and moisture retention in beneficial ways. And the other thing that tillage can do is Say your plow is set to a depth of 12 inches. Below 12 inches, you can get a very compacted layer. We don't worry about that so much on the sandy soils, but on a clay soil, we do worry about getting that compacted layer, which means your soil isn't going to drain like you need it to do. And again, like today, it happens to be a really windy day here. Mm-hmm. If you have an open field and a windy day comes along, or a large rain event mm-hmm. comes along, right. and that soil is bare, it's been plowed or tilled or whatever, that soil is very subject to erosion. It can blow away with the wind. It can wash away with the water.
Right, yeah, erosion. Well, that's what I guess I've always thought about. I mean, the soil, especially farm, the fields look nice.
They do.
Yeah. You know, and I've always thought that one reason farmers, you know, they like it to look nice. But, yeah, if it's windy, or then especially if you got a hard rain, it's going to
lose your sap.
Yeah, and you're going to have rivers and, you know, mm-hmm. you'll have gullies maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got some air photos of Wexford County from the 1930s in our office, and even at the scale of 8 inches to 1 mile, you can see huge gullies
really?
Going through fields. Yeah, right here
wow.
in our county.
Okay, so if we're not going to do that, what can we do? Because I understand, because if you had corn planted, you got these stalks.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to talk both. What gardeners and farmers do are different. Same
okay.
principle, but different method because
okay.
of scale. If you're... the first one actually applies to gardeners and farmers. If you plant a cover crop in, say, September, and what you plant as a cover crop is something that will die in the winter, such as oats or field peas, you can basically, what you're doing is you're out-competing any weeds that might want to grow in the fall because you're growing this cover crop. The cover crop dies in the winter, and come spring, the dead material, the pea vines, the stalks of the oats, they act as a light mulch, and you've got your planting bed essentially all prepared for you, a weed-free planting bed by planting that cover crop.
Okay.
So that's one option. For gardeners, another thing you can do, the previous growing season, if you mulch your crops heavily, which has all kinds of benefits for moisture retention and added nutrients to the soil, if you just let that be over winter, a lot of that mulch will decompose. In the spring, all you have to do is kind of pull back the mulch and you've got your seed bed all prepared.
Okay, so what kind of mulch are you talking about?
Like if you use spoiled hay or grass clippings, straw even, any of those things.
Okay.
Another thing you can do is there's a tool called a broad fork, which is really, if you think about a dinner fork on steroids, you kind of have the right idea. Ours is about 3 feet wide and about 5 feet tall.
With a bunch of tongs then,
yeah,
right?
With a bunch of tongs.
That's why you're
prongs.
Like
it's like a dinner yeah. fork, yeah. And it has a very sturdy crossbar, and you lift up the fork and you put the tines in the ground, you step on that crossbar, and you pull the fork back, and that gently loosens the soil. It doesn't kill your fungal networks or your worms or do any of those negative things we talked about, but it loosens it up enough that if you did have weeds, they're really easy to pull after doing that.
So let me make sure I understand this. So you know, you put it down on the ground, you step on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you pull it back, you don't just pull it straight up.
No, you pull it back.
Back. So how far are you kind of pulling it? A foot?
About a foot to 2 feet.
Okay.
And then you pick up the fork and you move it to the next location.
Okay. All right. It's not like you're going to keep just like raking. You're not
no,
raking.
No. Okay. You're just gently lifting the soil.
Okay.
And breaking up the weed root systems.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you're a farmer, they have field equipment now that's meant to be used in lower tillage situations, like maybe you're just running a disc over your ground rather than a moldboard plow. And mainly it's planters that they've adapted. And how they've adapted the planters is they have something called a coulter, which is a wavy disc, may be the best way to try and create a picture for your listeners. So they have these wavy discs in front of the planting mechanism. And it's actually kind of a micro tillage because the wavy discs sort of ripple back and forth in the soil and create a seed bed maybe a couple inches wide. So instead of plowing up the whole field, you have these narrow little bits of tillage, and then the seeds can be planted in that little strip, and you've got the benefits of not tilling up the whole field, but also the benefits of creating a finer seed bed for the seed.
So the and now let's just talk about a plow is deeper.
Yes.
When you use a plow, it goes
mm-hmm.
deeper into the ground,
mm-hmm.
where a disc isn't as deep.
Correct. And okay. it doesn't flip the soil over. The way a plow will flip the soil over.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. So you're just, it's like putting a knife in and kind of raking a knife. I mean, I'm not sure how to describe it.
Well, a chisel plow would be more like that.
Okay.
But a moldboard plow is curved, and so it actually flips the soil over. A chisel is kind of like a deep rake you could think of
okay.
going through there.
Right.
And sometimes they have twisted shanks, and the more twist to the shanks, the more they can maybe turn over the soil. And then there's discs, and then it gets complicated. The angle of the discs matters if they've got
yeah, they're not just straight. They're angled.
And if they're angled, then yeah, they can turn over the soil too. So there's
okay.
Not just one firm thing. There's lots of gradations in how much tillage
right.
can happen.
But I like what you called micro tillage. And that's in front of the tractor or
no,
the planter.
No. It's,
the planter.
It's, you know, a planter has several series of things happening
yeah.
in a row
yeah.
on it. And so the coulters would be the first thing. And then the
okay.
the disc openers and the seeds dropper would be next. And then there's press wheels to close the soil behind those.
Okay. All right. So, and most farmers, they're going to understand this.
They're going to know what I'm
just,
talking about.
You know, just thinking about people that maybe don't know a lot about farming,
sure.
which even though I was married to a farmer, doesn't mean I know a lot.
That's all
but
right.
But just trying to visualize
yeah.
this, how this goes.
So what a planter on the back of a tractor does is it does some of the seed bed preparation, although a lot of times they'll use a whole other tool for that. But let's say a little bit of seed bed preparation on a no-till planter. It creates an opening for the seed, drops the seed in, and then comes behind and closes it.
Which makes it nice, then you're just one
pass going over.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because that's the other thing. Farmers especially, mm-hmm. you know, they go in and they have to do this. And then, you know, they come back, well, let's go. Now we got to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going over the soil. And every time you go over the soil, that is helping to compact it, isn't it?
It is. And you're using more fuel, so that's an
yeah.
additional cost. The downside of no-till, though, is that the soils don't get warmed up as quickly. And there is a learning curve for a farm to figure out what's going to work, what's the right technique for their soils, their farm.
Mm-hmm. And no-tilling hasn't been around that long. I don't know how long. How long has no-tilling been around?
In the early 80s, it started.
Okay. Because I remember my husband and I first got married. He decided, being a farmer, decided to start trying this no-tilling.
Uh-huh.
And he bought a no-till. And he was the first one in Wexford County that had
oh.
it. Yeah, to start it, you know.
Cool.
And so, but like you said, there's a learning curve.
There is a learning curve,
yeah.
and it helps to talk to folks who've been on that curve before and learn from them. And because each farm's different, each soil type's a little
mm-hmm.
different. And
right. So if you're a gardener, who do you go talk to if you want to find out about, you know, making sure I'm tilling my ground or not tilling my ground? Who would they go talk to?
Well, hopefully their local conservation district
oh, okay.
can help them out. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you give us some information about how do people contact the Wexford County?
The Wexford Conservation District is located on Boone Road, a mile and a half west of the Meyer intersection. And our phone number is area 231-775-7681, extension 3. And we also have a website, and it's really easy. It's just our name, wexfordconservationdistrict.org.
So most counties in the state of Michigan, and maybe in other states, I mean, because mm-hmm. we do have listeners, well, and some in Wisconsin and some in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
they would be able to check out their soil conservation district, right?
Right. All the state is covered by a district, but in a few cases, it's multiple counties
mm-hmm.
make up one district. Like in the UP, Chippewa, Luce, Mackinac counties all combined into one district.
Okay. All right. But they can look up their numbers in the phone book or
yeah.
online.
Just type your county name and conservation district in any search engine, and information.
Give them the information they need. Mm-hmm. And because, folks, I tell you what, the Soil Conservation District has lots of information. I have learned a lot by having Teresa come in and interview her, and had no clue.
Well, I'm glad it's been helpful.
And I just want to mention right now, it's usually George and I that come and do this, an interview with Teresa. And many of you may know George had been very ill. He is home recuperating. And so I just want to ask you, keep praying for George, that God will continue to heal him. And we hope maybe next month when we do another one of these that he will be back. And now Teresa has said, though, that she's retiring from the Soil Conservation District.
Yeah, that's true, Julie.
Okay. And do we have somebody new that will be taking your place?
Yes, he will start in June.
Okay. So are you going to be done, or you're still going to be helping him transition?
We'll have a transition period.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I'm thinking maybe the June program will have him in here with you to help us.
We'll see what we can work out.
All right. Well, and I pray that George will be back too, because I know George really has enjoyed, and he's learned. He's a better gardener than I have been.
He's a wonderful radio host.
Oh, well, good. See, probably I'm better than me. He knows how to do this really, really good. So it is time for us to take a break, but stay tuned because we will be back with Teresa, and we are going to be talking about carrots.